Welcome to Hashtag Black. This is the show where we get to hash out the hashtags that frame Black lives. So today, it's a small, tight group. We have Deja Mackey and Marshall Allen. We will talk about just about three hashtags, and then we'll go around and pick up any other hashtags that are trending that we're individually following. So, Marshall, say hello and tell us your major.
Marshall Allen, double majoring in Black Studies and Political Science.
Deja
Mackey, majoring in Black Studies, minoring in Women's and Gender Studies.
Wonderful. And people know that they can just follow us on at Podcast Black. Please let us know what you think of the shows, and let's go. Let's go to our first hashtag. It's been a really busy couple of weeks, but these are the three that I think were at the top for me. So the first one would be hashtag Dove. What we saw were screenshots of a black woman taking off her top and appearing white, and that raised a lot of flags. So Deja, what do you think of hashtag Dove?
Yeah, so two things. First, I follow a lot of like pro-black Instagram accounts. I believe it was Pan-African that I follow. They revealed like that, I think it was in 2011, there was a similar situation with Dove where, and it was almost like the same style. The same type of content. So they basically had three women, and of course, you know, they're all different body types. I will give them that. Three women, all different ethnicities, and they basically had, so you know, the recent one, the women's shirts match their skin tones almost perfectly. So in the 2011 ad, the backgrounds that they were standing in front of matched them, and it basically went from like a woman of color. I think it was like a black woman, like a medium tone black woman, and then in the middle, an ethnically ambiguous, maybe Latinx woman, and then a white woman. Mm. So basically, again, like, if I didn't know what this was, I'm going to look at it and be like, oh, so this is some whitening soap. Like, it turns me white. That's what it does.
Which there are those.
Yeah, there are.
Soaps and creams. Yeah.
There are, but there has yet to be, like, you know, you think of Dove as like a main, you know, Dove, Jergens, Aveeno. These are like mainstream beauty brands, soap and lotion brands in American society. And we don't really, that I can think of, correct me if I'm wrong, have like a go-to lightening cream that is marketed in the same ways that Dove, you know, Jergens, mm-hmm. soaps and lotions like that are. Ever since the Pepsi thing, like, is this the new trend?
What's going on? Do you wonder who is on the committee or the panel that approves these things?
They have to be, these people are too smart, and they have to be doing this accidentally, because if you compare on Twitter the statement that Pepsi released and the statement that Dove released, they are almost identical.
You're kidding.
They are almost identical. The same thing.
And it's interesting to me that the outcry came from black women. It didn't mm-hmm. come from, that I know of from other people. Marshall, so what do you think of this?
Reading the article, Dove, Real Beauty and the Racist History of Skin Whitening. So just like Deja said, it's not the first time Dove's done something like this. Any companies for that matter. So the article, her name is Liz Connor. She says, Dove's troubling ad buys into racist history of seeing white skin as clean and black skin as something that needs to be cleansed. And so she has this picture. And the caption for the picture says, the original Pear soap advert based on the, advertising based on the fable washing, the black and more white, published in the graphic for Christmas 1884, right? So here we have, you know, Dove soap, and they're oh, well, I'm sorry, or, you know, we missed the mark. But we don't even have to focus on that. Focusing on the aesthetic of the commercial in and of itself, right? When you literally see a darker-skinned black woman, right, with this shirt on, and then you enter Dove into the equation, and the next thing we see is, you know, this white image, right? she talks about, just like they just said, Dove missed the mark before in 2011. But the thing with the ad in 2011, there was another one too. Three progressively paler skinned women standing in towels under boards labeled before and after, implying the transition to lightening skin, which is making that like their luminous beauty promise of Dove. That's still a quote from Liz Connor. And that too is, you know, just as problematic for the simple fact, like, you see this advertising, you see this, and it's being continued to be advertised over and over and over again. I wouldn't be surprised if in the next 2 or 3 years they either make a line for lightening, or they tell you, like, we've had a skin lightening product in our soap all along. Mm-hmm. Under that quote, though, soap advertisement for Nulla Nulla, it was a soap from 1901. Nulla Nulla was an Australian advertisement, and it said, Australia's White Hope, the best household soap, knocks dirt on the head. Had a black woman, big lips, really dark, animalized figure, spoon in the hand of a white person, knocking her on the head with dirt, literally as a necklace around her. But I think what's really important of this is this bigger conversation of cleanliness next to godliness, right? And the evil in that is that the cleanliness being next to godliness is really just a synonym for cleanliness being next to whiteness, mm-hmm. right? How being white is clean, how being white is better, how being white keeps you devoid of all different, all of these different toxins mm-hmm. or dirt, as if black is something that can be washed off, right. that can be removed, you know, with soap and water, you know, being cleansed, you know, and it speaks to mm-hmm. The overall historical context and the modern context of, you know, the condemnation of blackness, of the dislike, the hatred, the prejudice, you mm-hmm. know, that comes with black skin, you know. She also talks about explaining whiteness seen as purity, right? And then you can even take it back to the 60s when Malcolm and Martin talked about, you know, dictionary definitions right. where white, you have purity, you have creativity, godliness, holiness, divinity. And then black, you have negativity, death, right? Yeah. Evil, voodoo, et cetera, et cetera. Right. You know, and all of these things are being put into these commercials, you know, 10, 15 seconds at a time,
right.
which is triggering these ideas, mm-hmm. right? Which is reinforcing these
ideas.
So they
ideas, knew what these, they were doing.
So you know what they're doing.
About it.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Without you thinking about it.
Right.
Subconscious bias, right? So,
right. And if someone hadn't said something, if people hadn't raised the outcry, would they have even?
Yeah. I talk about it all the time.
That.
I say people are, you know, when it comes to stuff like this, it's never I'm sorry for doing it. It's sorry I got caught. It's sorry that they're sorry that you all, you know, that there's a problem mm-hmm. detracting from me making money mm-hmm. now. But it's not a sorry that we did it. Because mm-hmm. just like Deja said, they have public relations marketers. They have people that hire people who study these things mm-hmm. in their undergraduate degrees, postgraduate degrees, et cetera,
right,
et cetera,
right.
who are trained to look for stuff like this. Mm-hmm. And then you put them on their job, and then you have stuff that like this that's being produced. And then you say, oh, well, I'm sorry, but you know, not only are you not sorry, but you have a history of doing it. So what are the people on your team doing?
Going
right?
back to the 1800s.
And you think about like how so the thing that worries me that I'm thinking about now with you saying like these are 10 to 15 second clips, these are commercials, because this commercial, I mean, that's the thing. They have this clout, so they release it and then they wait for someone to see it and say something, they wait a little bit longer and then they remove it. So by then it's already reached a wide audience. And you think about, the American, the average American and our consumption of media. Mm-hmm. We consume media mostly for entertainment.
Right.
So when you're consuming entertainment, you're not necessarily thinking brain on all the time. You're sitting, it's your source of relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
It's how you decompress. So you're not trying to learn things, but that is media's purpose, to subconsciously put things in your head that you're not even thinking about.
Right.
So this brings me back to when I was little, living in Atlanta, Georgia, my mom was on a recreational volleyball team with all I know is my uncles now. They were just all of her best friends who were all gay that she would like go out with. Mm-hmm. And they're all black men. Mm. So we went to a pool, a community pool, where one of them lived in an apartment complex. And we had a white woman with her family go to the leasing office and complain about us all being in the pool. Because, you know, you see like it's 20 plus black men mm-hmm. and like, you know, some of their children. Mm-hmm. And basically had them say, like, we're afraid that you're going to wash off in the pool. And that wow. is such a poignant memory that I mm-hmm, have. Mm-hmm. And just my mom was like so outraged, and she took all the kids, and she didn't want me to like really get hip to what was going on. Mm-hmm. But
you got that.
Exactly.
Got
like
that.
I got
early,
it and
early
you,
on.
And you know, mm-hmm. you, and I think about it like the older that I get and the more mm-hmm. conscious that I get, and I'm like, wow, this is very mm-hmm. real. That right. is something that you would think would be happening in the 50s and 60s. Like, exclusively.
No, but this
was
probably
the early 2000s.
Wow, I was going to say the 90s, but you're younger.
The early.
Yeah. Okay, so Dove has come out with some statements, and actually the black woman in that ad said that she didn't know that's how it would look, mm-hmm. that she just thought it was different models changing into each other. But people know now about screenshots. They know now that most people don't look at the entire. I mean, when the ads come on, I turn away. I go to the kitchen. I get my coffee or my tea. So it's the screenshots that make an impact. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, she did not think about that when she was making it. But she's thinking about it now.
Because see, even if that's the argument that you want to use, you know, you could have continuously had women change into each other. From a variety of different skin tones. You could have started with a white woman, taking it off, turning into a black woman, taking it off, turning into a Latin woman, taking it off, turning into a Pacific Islander. Like, you could have had those types of things, that type of, I wouldn't even say dichotomy, but you could have had those types of transitions, but you didn't. Mm-hmm. You deliberately started, you know, with a dark-skinned black woman, mm-hmm. and then when she took off her shirt, she instantly became, you know, fair-skinned mm-hmm. white. That's, you can't. I don't buy mm-hmm. that you didn't know how that would look, you know?
And right. even if you do that, I was talking about it with my roommate, and we got down to like, okay, well, what if they put this type of woman first and then this? Okay, we'll change it. Like, mixing it up, like, mm-hmm. either way you go, it's still going to be some type of problematic. So, like, you just should change your idea. It's
just
a bad
else.
Idea.
Exactly.
Like,
and
they knew
just
that. They
else.
Knew that.
And of course, I know I saw one. Have you guys ever seen this ad from, I think it's China or Korea, somewhere
yes.
in Asia, with the washing the...
Yes.
that's what I thought about. So it's an ad for a detergent. You put...
oh, my God.
You put the black man
oh,
yes. in the...
detergent. No, I didn't
detergent.
See that. I was talking about the soap. Like.
Well, I'm sure there are those too, but this
yes.
one is crazy.
Yes.
You put the black man in the... in the washing machine, mm-hmm. and when the cycle finishes, you open that thing up and you pull out your clean clothes, and guess what? It's a white man. And this was circulating last year, and I was
yeah.
like, this must be old, but no, it had just been done. But then I was like, okay, well, you know, it's Asia. They need to, you know, think about what this means. They have a lot of work to do, and then boom, here we have Dove in 2017 with this ad. So do you guys think that if they had a diverse panel, that would help? Like if they put one black person who graduated with a degree in advertising or communications, would that help, do you think?
I don't think they would hire them.
Me neither. <laughs> Because
they're very, I would bet not a large amount of money because I am broke, but maybe $5. On the fact that they know exactly what they're doing, and mm-hmm. they have their people in their planning meetings and their round tables. Mm-hmm. They know exactly what they're doing.
You also have to think about whether, even if they did have a young graduate who was just so happy for the job, right, to go on there and go against a panel or a group mm-hmm. of people like that who have been there for a long time. Anyway, all right, so let's move on to our next hashtag, #MeToo. Which is circulating quite rapidly around social media. And it's the hashtag that I think it came out after Mr. Weinstein mm-hmm. was caught with his pants down. And this allegedly had been started by a woman called, an actress called Alyssa Milano, who was an actress in some 90s TV shows mm-hmm. and so on. However, there's a however. So let's see if Deja and Marshall have picked up on the however of this story.
Yes. So I was scrolling through my timeline and I saw a lot of people posting this. There was a woman named Tarana Burke who actually started a movement, I want to say it was in 2011 or maybe
about 10 years ago.
Yeah, 10 mm-hmm. years ago. And the movement is called, literally called Me Too. The Me Too movement. It has the exact same purpose, the exact same branding. But she was an activist named Brittany tweeted at her and was like, you know, shout out to my girl because she started this exact same movement and is getting no credit for it. And she was saying that while she appreciates the solidarity that, like, you know, it's very much a visible solidarity campaign. Mm-hmm. You can scroll through your timelines and see hundreds of your female friends.
Yeah.
And I mean, not just women. You have non-binary people, you have femme-presenting people, you have queer, like, a variety of people. Mm-hmm. But her thing was it was something for survivors to use amongst ourselves. It wasn't necessarily for us to have to, and this is my issue, my main issue with the campaign is that it requires It requires survivors to disclose.
Yes.
Which is something that we should not have to do for you to validate our experiences that we've been through.
Right.
We know this. We have years and years. We have decades of numbers, statistics. This is why we have these this is why we have these surveys that we take at Mizzou that are anonymous
mm-hmm.
so that we have the platform to disclose without
right.
anyone knowing our names. Just so that we can get the numbers. And those aren't even completely accurate because there are plenty of people who just don't take them
right.
for valid reason.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I posted on Twitter, I'm like, just when I thought a movement could, you know, was slightly intersectional, I'm like, I see so many different types of human beings posting this. I'm like, okay, I don't see any issues with it yet, except for the fact, you know, the one that I just stated, but boom, right when I was starting to get comfortable with it, you find out that it's co-opted from a Black woman.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this
mm-hmm.
woman's labor that she has been putting in, going around and disclosing over and over and over again, because that's what it requires you to do to mm-hmm. be in a position of work like that. It's all taken from
over.
Under her feet with no credit.
Mm-hmm. Taken over. Marshall.
Same thing. It was definitely created by a Black woman. I don't believe stuff like that can be coincidence. You don't coincidentally come mm-hmm. up with an entire movement, an entire hashtag, an entire campaign.
Exact same words.
With the
yeah.
exact same words over the exact same topic.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Because it could have been like, also me, mm-hmm. or...
Right, you know, could have been at least tried.
Same, hashtag same.
Hashtag same, like, if you literally, me too. But I was reading this, you know, an article by Zahara Hill, and she was talking about how the Black woman creator of the movement created it, you know, for the purpose of going, and she quotes, where rape crisis centers and sexual assault workers weren't going, right? So you have this movement of Me Too, right? And then you have it being for women of color, right? All marginalized women of color, specifically Black women of color at that. But then you have it, right, in communities that don't get, you know, the attention. It's already bad enough that rape culture, rape, sexual violence, and assault does not get a unnecessary amount of attention. But then you have it, right, where you see it as being, quote-unquote, most prevalent, right? And you have it in these communities where places aren't going, where there is no outreach, mm-hmm. where there are no centers. And that was the idea behind it, right? And not only is it bad as far as her movement being co-opted from, you know, from a white woman and by a larger white audience, but it's bad, too, because the attention, right, the resources that are required for that, the awareness of mm-hmm. it that's supposed to be in those communities isn't there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's completely distracted. You know, mm-hmm. now we're talking about it on a Hollywood basis.
Yeah.
Yes,
yep.
that's
yeah.
important.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the communities, you know, mm-hmm. that need this the most, that need the resource, that need the attention,
mm-hmm.
you know, that nobody's bringing intention to. And, you know, her, she said her campaign motto was empowerment through empathy. So making sure that people can be empowered by putting yourself in their shoes, right? Mm-hmm. What it's like to literally be taken advantage of, to be assaulted, to have things literally outside of your control, no one talking about those things right. outside of your control, and then you being faulted for it. Second article that I was reading, Me Too, see beyond the hashtag. Her name is Susan Thistlewaite. She said, it's crucial to recognize that this hashtag Me Too campaign, combat violence against women, was invented by an African American. So then she says, but we need to focus on unequal social relations, how they're produced, maintained, policed, and punished if transgressed, right? So again, talking about this idea of, you know, victim blaming, of telling people that it doesn't exist because it didn't happen to me. And then when you talk about also this idea of things being co-opted, we think about like Kylie Jenner and taking pants from the pants idea, claiming it her own from a black entrepreneur, the woman who created Plugged NYC, the Netflix series that's coming out, which was taken and drafted from black women ideas, black women blogs, black women Afro science fiction and stuff like that. Mm. Or even, I don't know how true it is, but the rumor that even like popular blockbusters like The Matrix, mm-hmm. right, being taken from black
I've
concepts.
I've read those stories too,
right,
yeah.
Being taken from black concepts, specifically called The Third Eye, which is created by a black woman, right? And then mass produced on this level of being, you know, oh, it's a new idea, it's being this, it's being that, you know. So this whole idea of co-opt in general, mm-hmm. right, extremely problematic, mm-hmm. Extremely, you know, against the grain. It makes me like wonder, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know, what can the marginalized, the oppressed, what can black people have, you know, not only for themselves, but how do we bring awareness to topics and hard conversations, right, without them being, you know, mass produced or whitewashed, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, I hear you.
I just want to speak to something that you said about, like, so basically you're talking about like the trans historical trend of black ideas being co-opted by white people and black people receiving no credit. And something that this reminds me of, like, I'm when I read that article, I'm thinking about the labor that this woman has put mm-hmm. in for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Like, that's half my life right there. Mm-hmm. I'm only 22. And it brings me back to something that I learned in Keona Irvin's class.
Shout out Keona.
Yes.
Irvin.
The Black Freedom Movement. Something that I had not learned about until I was 21 and got to college. Rosa Parks, before the bus boycott, her commitment to black women who were not receiving justice in their cases with sexual assault and rape, her going down to the South and creating the Committee for Equal Justice to make sure that Recy Taylor was a black woman that was gang raped by several white men, to make sure that she got justice. And like, literally on her feet, doing the footwork, going around to these communities, like you said, where these rape advocates and these centers who are supposed to be helping women, mm-hmm. so all women,
right.
Where they are physically not going. Mm-hmm. So when I saw this article about Tarana, like, Rosa Parks immediately came to my mind. Like, you have these black women doing this footwork and putting in so much of their time and labor and love. Mm-hmm. This is a labor of love, usually because they've experienced this or known someone close to them that they love who's also experienced mm-hmm. this. And then you have these white women swooping in with their platform and their power, and they come in, they take it, and boom, just like that, 10 years of hard work and labor is erased.
Mm-hmm. And I think also we should mention, since we mentioned Rosa Parks, that when we think of the civil rights movement now, who do we think of? We don't think of the women. Mm-hmm. We think of these giant men,
yeah. mm-hmm.
who did wonderful things. But here's Deja's story about what Rosa Parks did before she simply sat on a bus, mm-hmm. right? So all we think of now, we see the picture of her on the bus just sitting down, which was incredible.
Yeah.
But what about all this other work that she did?
Yeah.
Okay, so back to hashtag Me Too. We should mention that Alyssa Milano has come out with a statement. I think this was like yesterday. Again, as Deja said earlier, you wait a few days, see what happens, and then you come out with some kind of statement. And her statement was, well, she just found out that this was a movement that had been started 10 years ago. She just wanted to give a shout out to that news. Anyway, carry on.
You couldn't look it up. You memorized script after script. What was she on? She was the little witch show with the three witches.
I forget what it's called.
Who cares? Yes. It's old now. So you can memorize script after script after script. You make millions, bro. And you could not Google
it. You probably
it.
Have assistants as well.
You couldn't Google okay. it? Come right. on now.
Okay. All right. So speaking of Black cultural products that are co-opted or appropriated. I don't know if that will form part of our discussion of this last hashtag for the day, which is hashtag Eminem. So on BET's Hip Hop Award show, they always have the ciphers at the beginning, which I love. I love those ciphers because they're freestyle, well, allegedly, freestyle these battle, well, they're really ciphers. So they go around from one rapper to another. And so he was on it. BET had made a lot of noise that he was going to be on it and so on. So more viewers. Eminem went on this rant against Donald Trump. So Marshall, let me start with you on this. What is your view? Because I'm hearing from many of my students, my young scholars, that there's a mixed review of this, but what do you think? What's your view?
I'm indifferent. I've never been like an Eminem fan. You know, you have a lot of today's rappers that are mentioned, like how much of an Eminem fan they are. Like J. Cole mentioned Eminem back in 2014, 2015 in one of his interviews, talking about, you know, silly how much of an Eminem fan I am. You know, I've never really been a fan, and I'm not going to necessarily. I'm not going to necessarily talk bad against somebody for talking out against injustice, right? At the end of the day,
nicely
right,
put. Mm-hmm.
He said it. At the end of the day, you know, he said, you know, the problems that we're facing. He said why it was wrong, what was going on, you know, a recap, whatever, whatever. I'm not going to talk against somebody, right, in a negative fashion who is speaking, right, for change.
Good.
However, article I was reading, Eminem's takedown of Trump in the age of angry white men. It's by Doreen St. Felix. So she talks a lot about, you know, the different men, the different white men that speak out, or like how Eminem is doing it. But I took one quote, and this quote, I just had to. It says, after 27 years of doubt about rap, I am now a fan. The white commentator Keith Olbermann wrote on Twitter, punctuating the tweet with five clapping hand emojis. Right? Quote again, best political writing of the year, period.
I'm crying.
Wow. That's the however.
That bothers me. Right? Because and I'm going to expound upon, you know, Felix's, her argument, right? I'm going to expound on this idea, her concept of the age of angry white men, right? Mm-hmm. How, you know, it seems like when white men get upset, when white men get angry, there's a whole different plethora, there's a whole different section of issues that come up, right? All of a sudden, everybody's paying attention, right? And the thing is, people talked about Eminem as if this was the first anti-Donald Trump song, anti-bigot policy, music, you know, anti-bigot message. Mm-hmm. YG, Nipsey Hussle, you mm-hmm. know, FDT, right? A Tribe Called Quest, mm-hmm. We the People. Pusha T, he had a song called Untouchable. It was more so of a shot mm-hmm. at Trump, but he mentioned him, right? Mm-hmm. Why aren't those songs mm-hmm. songs that have this awareness, that have this this validity, this presence, this platform,
and
right?
that Keith Olbermann would clap for,
you know, right? You know, like stuff like that. Like and like I said, that's my issue, is the fact that, you know, in this age of angry white mm-hmm. men, you mm-hmm. know, when white men do get angry, right, all of a sudden, things are taken seriously, right. You know, so.
Okay. Deja?
I mean, I echo all of Marshall's sentiments. I pretty much have the exact same thing written in my notes. Never liked Eminem. I don't understand. Like, I saw a tweet. This is the only thing I'll say. I saw a tweet by a black man that was like, so Eminem is like, they're like, Trump is a sexist, a misogynist, someone who's like talks about like rape and sexual assault all the time. Like Eminem, he fits all the same categories, like very violent. I don't and have never liked the fact that he says the N-word and is like somehow given like this black card by like our community. Whoa. That he's allowed to say the N-word.
Does he?
I hear that all the time.
But does he say the N-word?
Like, oh, well, it in our hip hop class, uh-huh. We were talking about him.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I remember.
And I'm like, there's nothing that you can tell. There's no. You get no pass.
Never a good thing.
I've never enjoyed it. It's never okay. So yeah, I mean, like, I'm not about to sit here and kiss this white man's feet just because he finally has woken up and used his platform. This was in 2016 when dude was like, where were you then? Like,
it's interesting that you say that too, because I read a lot of articles. The articles that I didn't really expound upon were the ones that were coming at him musically, because I don't do music, right? But you know, he apparently said something in 2011, you know, back in 2002, 2004 with Bush, right? Mm-hmm. Then there were other people that were saying, you know, if it didn't make sense how, you know, Eminem came out being so far left when we would usually view him as being apolitical in the first place. And there are people that were commenting on the bars and saying, like, you know, he didn't even bring up any new arguments, new analysis. He just echoed, you know, then talking about, like, the presentation of it. Like, you know, what are the black people in the back for? Why is he in all black? Why did he put up the black power fish? You know, why are there all black cars in this dingy place? You know, like, stuff like that. So, you know, like I said, it's funny that they just says that because it's you know, like, why? Mm, right? Yeah. Like I said, I'm not... He said it. He did it. He used his platform, like they just said. I'm not going to fault him for that, right? Because he's done a lot more than most.
Right, right, right. Seriously.
Just by
right.
saying it, he's done a lot more than most. But like I said, it's just the idea, you know, of what happens when you anger a white man, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. To why he gets so much attention, to why it becomes so monumental, right? So.
And mainstream. It goes mainstream real fast. So I've never seen the big newspapers, the big networks cover the BET ciphers as they did this time.
See, there were three articles from CNN about this, you know.
Yep.
And the cipher 2 years ago was so good. The ciphers are amazing.
I
every
love the
year.
That's all I really watch.
Every year, is the talent. Ciphers, yes.
But never covered on CNN. So great points. Okay, let's we're going to wrap up. Let's go around. What else are we following? Yes. Marshall, you have anything?
I don't necessarily have a hashtag that I was following, but I had a contribution to, I guess, an outside look at Me Too, right? I was on Facebook, and I was scrolling through my timeline, and I saw, you know, Me Too. This is how I saw Me Too, right? It was a black man, and he tweeted, he said, if you loathe rape because you have black daughters, then you are viewing rape as a property offense.
Wow.
And literally, like, I had to, my mouth dropped. I said, like,
property offense, wow.
That's,
wow.
You know, like, mind blown. Because it was just the idea
that
all of a sudden, you know, like, rape matters to
you. Because you have a daughter.
Because you have a daughter.
What about you?
Well, you know, I have this trend where I tell people who they should
That's
follow
your
every
trend.
Week. So this week, in honor of Domestic Violence Awareness Month, an issue that's very close to my heart, there is a woman that I've been following. Her name is Amber Amore. So her at name on Instagram is Amber the Icon, AmberTheIcon, all lowercase, no spaces or nothing like that. And she has an account called Creating Consent Culture, where she just posts positive things about consent. She's like a huge consent advocate. She goes around, again, this trend of black women putting in labor because of their personal experience and disclosing their experiences every time they go to a different event. So some of the things that are in her bio, she's a raw African bio-mineral vegan, divine feminist, sacred sexual priestess, and this is the one that I think is the coolest thing ever. She's an oracle and spiritual coach for rape survivors. So if you follow her, she does a lot of like crystal healing, like yoni eggs, yoni wands, things like that. Fascinating thing. She does a lot of like sex positive coaching as a form of healing and like combating your trauma and taking back your body. A lot of her posts are very like menstruation positive, so if that's too much for you, not too much for me, but yeah, so like she's super super dope, and I wanted to highlight a Black woman that is putting in the work to, like Marshall said, go to these places where these mainstream like rape crisis centers aren't going, in honor of all of the survivors of domestic violence and assault this month.
Good.
And every month. We should be doing this every month.
Okay, so for me, this is something I would like you all to think about coming in to talk about next time, which is hashtag Mogadishu. Mogadishu is in Somalia. And on October 14th, there was a terrorist attack there, killed 300 people. Nobody's covering it. Nobody's talking about it. No tears for Mogadishu. No prayers for Mogadishu. So definitely want to talk about the imbalance of news coverage and global empathy, between what happens in the West and what happens in Africa. And also a quick shout out to Black Studies. We had an incredible conference run by my colleague, Dr. Christina Carney. It shook I think it shook us all. Mm-hmm. It took us to the edge, which is where we should be going in all our research, in different ways, of course, not only in terms of research on sexuality and gender, but also in all the different ways that we can study Black life. All right, so that's it for the show today. Looking forward to our next show, and this is hashtag Black.